Welcome back to the NSFW podcast right here on Balls Up. Dave Jackson, aka Corporate Dave, has just had a spillage of liquid.
Yeah, it was me, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't. It was Sav Berry who's also here. Dave Horn is also here. Today, in front of us, we have some lovely Temperance Spirit Company Teetotal Drinks.
Yes, we do.
Lovely.
100% natural ingredients.
Lovely.
G&T is created using only the finest quality natural sauce.
Don't read the whole thing out. Let's just try a little sip and see what you think.
Rum and Coke, guys.
Wait, hold on.
Cheers.
Eyes.
Tom Drinkable. Yeah.
Go on then, drink a bit.
Yeah. I'll be honest, it just tastes just like G&T.
It does. So it tastes like a G&T, but without alcohol. That I don't really see the point.
There is a hint of rum in there. There's spices.
Nice, yeah. It actually smells that rum as well.
It's pretty nice.
Decent.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Anyway, we'll be sipping on that for hours.
Yeah, we will. But the link to this will be in the description below, so go and get some if you want some.
Yeah,
gentlemen, what have we been up to this week? Corporate Dave, what have you been up to?
Lanyard at the ready.
Lanyard's ready. Swipe in, swipe out.
What have I done? I haven't really been up so much. Just been like final stages of wedding planning.
Yeah, where are we up to now? Who's the DJ? Who's the band?
There's a DJ. He's, you know, you got Will I Am. This fella's name is I Am Will.
Is that Honesty Jerry?
Yeah, that's his name.
No way. Unbelievable.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's so good.
So he's like the DJ, and then the band's. I think the band they call like the Flyaways or something. So it's like.
Yeah. They're good?
Oh, not, well, they'll do a job, won't they?
They'll do a job. What's.
Do you want to give out the venue to everyone if they want to come down?
Can you give away a piece of information? Can you give away the song for the first dance?
We don't know what it is yet. Because it basically all depends on how good the band are.
Can you play?
Yeah, so.
What are your kind of three options?
So my ideal one would be Florence Machine, You've Got the Love.
Yeah. Oh, I love that
you've
song.
You've Got the Love. But I think, like, I feel like only a female can play that, like, to do it in her style.
Well, was you going to sing it? Was you going to sing it?
No, but the band, I think, are four males.
Heavy metal.
I'm not really sure what the other options are.
So effectively, the option is it's going to be Florence.
So basically, see, better either like the band can play it, or I'll get what's his name, buddy? DJ Will I just put on the ones and twos.
Oh, okay.
I Am Will.
I'm on it.
You should comment below with what should be Dave's first song.
Yeah, comment below what you think that first song should be. Also, whilst you're there, make sure you leave a nice comment, leave a like, and if you're listening on the podcast app, rate us 5 stars and leave a review.
5.
Big 5. And also the stag do's coming up.
Oh, it is.
Carnage. Oh, it is.
Do you want to tell them the costume theme?
So it's going to be in Leeds. It's going to be on the 7th of September, followed through to the 9th. Is it 9%?
Yeah.
Saturday, yeah.
I thought you meant the costume theme was Leeds.
So
that'd be interesting.
The theme for the first day is old school WWF, WWE wrestlers.
But
so
no spoilers yet as to who's who.
Yeah.
Me and Sam have got a banging one in the bag.
But if it was you picking for
that's
us.
Good.
Yeah, who sick. Would you have us be yeah. if
sick
we were WWE?
Idea.
Any
superstars?
You comment Tugboat, I'm coming for you.
I don't even know who that is.
He was a guy who used to be Earthquake.
Tugboat, I mean, sounds a bit mad, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you reckon anybody's going to come as Rey Mysterio after you killed that guy?
It's only Mills, isn't it?
Did Rey Mysterio really kill someone?
Yeah, Rey Mysterio killed a guy
not
in the ring. And then he pinned his dead body. Mad.
Are you serious?
Yeah, he basically kicked the keys in the back.
He's making it sound so much. You know his move, the one where he swung around the ropes.
Yeah, 619.
The guy was already dead, lifeless on the two ropes.
Nah.
Like no, he was. He died from the move before and was put on the ropes.
Are you serious?
And then Mysterio, as he swings around, he doesn't hit him. The bloke is under his legs, so he misses him. And then the body like kind of falls through. I don't think he pins him.
Well, either way, so Mysterio killed
him. Did he die like natural causes or from the
yeah, like injury? Something else.
No,
had
he
happened
broke
in
his back.
Something had happened in a move before.
So did he get charged for manslaughter or what?
I believe he was. I think he was not got off with it because it wasn't intentional. But like, I don't think he was.
You couldn't charge him for manslaughter over
the
an
great. Remember the great Carly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He in his early days killed a guy in the ring.
I'm not surprised. You see the size of the guy. Hit you one time, you're dead, didn't you?
Oh, was it in the ring? Or was it? I don't know. He killed someone.
Didn't like D.O. Brown like paralyze about 4 different wrestlers?
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah.
There's a guy called Grozzy.
Droz.
Do you know who else killed someone? Marcos Alonso. But that's a story for another day.
This has put a nice tint on the old wrestling theme for the night. Yeah.
What else?
Come as wrestlers who have been involved in horrible crime.
Sava, what have you been up to this week?
We have been finalising a deal. Getting a the big man, we're not going to name him, but to sign on the dotted line, there is another member of the Balls Up community.
I don't think we should ever say his name. It's going to be like a secret.
It's a secret.
We'll call him the Myth.
The Myth.
You know, like
they
did on the dance. They call him the Myth, and we'll just blur his face and stuff.
Call him the Myth.
That's sick. Let's do that. From now on, he's going to be called the Myth. You're never going to find out who he is. He has signed on the dotted line.
Yeah.
Coming soon. Really excited to have him on board.
Yeah,
so that should be fun.
More cool content.
Looking forward to actually giving Sav some time off, innit?
Yeah, man. So I've been burnt out recently. I'm not going to lie to you, Nation. I've had a few months now where I haven't really left the office at any decent time at all. So I'm going to try and have a nice holiday.
Where are you going to go?
I don't know, you know. Just somewhere. Maybe I'll just stay in my bed the whole time. Just not here. Okay. That's where I'll be.
Fair play. Hornet, what have you been up to?
Not much. Can't talk about it. Been doing a lot of planning, but I can't talk about it.
I don't even know about this.
You do know about it, but I can't talk about it because certain mates of mine that watch.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You definitely know what I'm talking about, but
see what that's to tell me after.
Been a busy week. I'll reveal all next week, but it's been a busy week.
Active in the scene.
Yeah.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
Cool. How's your week been, Joe?
It's been okay. Obviously, went out again this weekend.
This is becoming a theme for you, isn't it?
It was actually a pretty funny one. Adam Temple went missing, lost him. Had one chip on it. We went in Nando's basically, and we were absolutely smashed. We'd been drinking from about 4 o'clock.
It's the same
and
story.
Drinking heavy, but then we got into Nando's, right? And Templeman ordered like half a chicken, chips, creamy mash, I think. He had one chip and then went outside for a smoke, never come back. Man lost his head.
Why what he ordered was so important to that story?
I don't know, but he went outside, he had one chip, never come back. He went out for a smoke and just never
came
back.
Did he smoke? I didn't attempt smoke.
Yeah, on the night out, he loves it. And then he was just sending us photos later in the night of him in, I don't know where he got it from, builder's gear, hard hat and construction gear, stood in a window smoking. It was unbelievable.
Party we had a couple of years back where he ended up on a train home by himself and the entire carriage was just him? So he was just blasting out tunes on his phone, having a rave.
I remember when Templeman once came out with me. This is back when he was with his ex. And,
this is Football Daily's Adam Templeman.
Adam Templeman, aka the Clickbait King. And he came back to my house. He was too drunk to like get on a train or anything.
Yeah.
And we were absolutely battered. And he came back to my house and I like, put him to bed on the sofa or whatever. Got him like a blanket put into bed. Come down at like 6 o'clock and he'd gone. And I was like, where's this man gone? I'd only known him for about 2 months. I was like, where's this man gone? So I texted him saying, where are you? And he said, oh, my contact lens has fused to my eyes. I'm about to go home.
He's like the mole man from Simpsons.
Honestly, it was so funny, man. It was so funny.
We love that as well. We love the Simpsons reference.
But yeah, other than that, was working both days, Saturday and Sunday.
You was, didn't you?
Which was okay.
You're doing bits with the F2.
Yeah, we did a little shoot with the F2, smashed the top bins first.
You got top bins, didn't you?
It's no surprise, is it? Technique's unbelievable. Yeah. As you'll see in FDFC's video that's coming very soon.
My tackling
technique's on point.
It's
unbelievable. Anyway.
Ben King vibes.
It's not Ben King vibes. I actually got a photo of Ben King mid-tackle yesterday. I think I showed it to you, Savile.
Yeah, you showed it to all three of us.
Oh, did I? Yeah, I showed it to you all. I don't know where I found it, but it's an unbelievable challenge. About 2 foot over the ball.
It is a terrible challenge.
Awful challenge.
All of him is in the air.
Anyway, should we go on to the stories then? Who's repping first?
I'll kick us off.
Yeah. Go on then, David.
Because today... Well, the day we're filming this, for a lot of people out there, is A-level results day.
Mm.
Mad.
So I thought it's quite a... seeing as we have an audience that... you know, there's a lot of people in the Balls Up Nation that are going through that at the moment.
Mm.
We thought it might be interesting to talk about our experiences with, like, grades and stuff. Nice.
Broke the table and Dave didn't get the lid off.
Like how you did, and also what you for those listening on our podcast, Dave's trying to take the lid off his bottle.
It's bad, that isn't it?
That's all right. Never mind. Nilsson will be hungry.
But what I'm talking about is how we did, and then also there's that thing that always goes around about you know, famous people coming out saying, I didn't do well in my exams, you don't need to do well in them. I think Simon Cowell, J.K. Rowling.
Steve Jobs,
Richard Branson. Mm. Do they do A levels out in America?
He basically dropped out of uni for.
Yeah. But the rest of them, they all didn't do very well in those studies. And then, but it's the question people ask: is that really the point, or you know, should you take it seriously, whatever? So I just thought I'd pass it out and see what we think about.
So how did everybody do? How did everybody do at A level, Dave?
I got three
did you do
D's.
A's or O levels?
You have to explain what O-levels
are. O-levels came season, before right? A-levels.
Yeah, good one.
Basically.
Yeah, it's good.
How did you do an A-level?
Yeah, that's good. That's
good. I got three Bs. So basically, I never actually applied for uni, like, during the normal kind of route. I had no really intention of going. And then when I got my results back, they were a lot better. Because, like, yeah, so then I kind of went for something called clearing.
Three Bs in what?
What did I do? I did IT, drama, and English Lit.
Drama?
Drama?
Yeah.
My guy's Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Go on, what were you, how did you do drama? What is that involved, a drama A-level?
Yeah, you have to write a play for your final piece.
Yeah. What was yours about?
So,
yeah,
mine was actually wicked.
Does footage exist?
It doesn't, but I'll tell you. So, it's basically a story. It was called Mind the Gap.
Mind the Gap, yeah.
Okay, cheap
vibes. What? Yeah, exactly. So, basically, the story is, first scene, fella gets stabbed, all right? And then it kind of goes on. And it's kind of like, it's little flashbacks from this fella's life. And then you only realise at the end that he's actually dead. And
oh, spoilers.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was called, he got stabbed on the train called Mind the Gap.
It sounds quite dark.
Yeah, but the thing is when you're at that age, I know anything I made at that age, is you always try and go, really like deep with it but to I've make something that actually matters.
But you all know my friend Ashot. You know Ashot, right?
Oh, he's a legend.
So
is he in it?
He was at yesterday at football.
He decides during the exam performance he's going to ad lib a scene. And I went, mate. He says to me before, he goes,
shout out Ash.
He goes, no matter what I do, just go with it. I went, you what?
Wait, he's got his headpiece. I went, what?
So, and there's this one scene where like this guy was having counselling. You know, he's like, what do you call it? You see, like AA. He's in AA.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And he just creates this character in the middle of the thing. He goes, I'm Johnny fucking English. And I go, who's Johnny English? What's this? What? And he just basically did it. He created this little scene. And then he just walked up. But he only told. There's other people in the play.
So he only told you.
He only told me. And then there's this bit where like, because I knew like where like the examiners were gonna sit, like. I was trying not to laugh so much. I thought if I'd have made it, I can't have any answer in the audience. That's it. I'm gone. But he just completely made up this scene.
How did he do?
Well, we got. I think we got an A for that actual for like the final exam.
Fair play,
that,
Ash.
The thing.
It sounds like a pretty good story, isn't it?
Quality.
But yeah, I would love to find the footage of this play.
Film it?
Yeah, it was been filmed.
They always
like,
filmed.
Oh, we got to find
but
that.
But this would have been what. 12, 13 years ago,
maybe more.
Do they have camcorders back then?
It's on actual tape. It's on actual tape.
It would have been
that.
It'd been on VHS.
It'd have been like 2006, 2006.
It'd
be on
a
VHS.
No.
Someone in the back there.
It wouldn't have been on SD card, but it'd been on, them tapes you used to put in.
Floppy disk.
Basically, it's just an oil painting. It's just an oil painting, that's it.
It's an oil
painting of Ashot doing a little bit of
The thing is with this, the old, I'm just not going to win it.
You're not going to win it. Ashot is quality though. Me, him, and Milad were playing Ghost Recon Wildlands the other day on PS4, and he takes it so seriously.
But Mills doesn't.
Mills don't. Yeah. So him and Mills are just going at each other constantly. It's so funny. He's such a wicked, wicked
what
guy.
What were your other two in then?
ICT and English Lit.
ICT.
Yeah, that was so. It was. You know, ICT A level. It's all just common sense.
It's basically Excel spreadsheets and stuff.
And it's more about like because a lot of it's to do with like. What's the actual process of things? You just think about the process. Mm. That's
it.
Basically, what it is. And then English Lit did a dystopian fiction, which I really enjoyed.
Oh, yeah.
The favorite book for a while was 1984, which is actually very dark.
Don't know that one.
1984, Handmaid's Tale, and Brave New World.
Yeah. It's George Orwell, wasn't it?
George Orwell, yeah. It's a really good book.
Savile, what did you take?
I did media, religious studies. History and what was the other one? English Lit as well.
Did you ever get confused on your essay between religious studies and history? It's not right about the wrong one.
Thing is, religious studies was more philosophy than religious studies, to be fair. It was more about like theology and stuff like that.
I used to hate religious studies. I hated it. I went to a C of E school and my teacher was like What do you call ones with the collar?
Do you mean a vicar?
A priest. Vicar, yeah, yeah. Or a priest or whatever. Oh my God, he made everything so boring. We used to have to sit around in circles and stuff and discuss things. And we did like, oh my God, it was so dull, man. I used to hate religious stuff. What were you thinking, taking that A-level?
No, I went to a Catholic school. That was, take yours and add a couple of levels to it.
Yeah, but you've got to remember, it's not like I was teaching you about what happened in the Bible or the Quran or the Torah. You're talking about whether you think God actually exists, yeah, and you're talking about what your reasoning is behind an afterlife, or you're talking about like ex-philosopher talking about why he thinks that it looks...
You're talking like about A-level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the thing. Whenever you write essays, it was like, in Islam, they believe, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's...
GCSE
yeah.
was rubbish.
But the GCSE
it was
one...
Easy one, wasn't it?
But GCSE, well, you could get A star just by saying your opinion. That's yeah. that was what the religious studies thing. That's how easy it was. Whereas the A level was completely yeah. different. Yeah. I enjoyed it, but it was a difficult one because I'm going home to my mum, who's a minister of religion, and I'm saying, I don't believe in your religion, but I do believe there's a God. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. me and her, she's a really cool person as a mum. She didn't really force me to believe in God, so it was an interesting course to do. But I ended up dropping out, and after doing the AS, I didn't finish my A2s. Just weren't for me. A levels weren't really for me.
Fair play.
What about you, Horn?
I did. What did I do at A levels? I did business, ICT, and I did law. Actually,
law.
I took law. To be
I always heard that if you did law at A level, you were less likely to do law at university because they didn't like how it was taught. Or
yeah, no, I was less likely to because I got a U. So we didn't take it on for the second
it's
year.
It's because you were wrong, isn't it? Mad thing.
Yeah, it's actually, I literally just couldn't. It was one of those things where, basically what it was I was always good at media stuff, but as a kid, especially around those kind of years, you know, you don't really know what you want to do.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I wanted to go into. And so I thought, okay, well, if I take law and I take business, then they're probably the kind of things that I can apply to something anyway. So I thought, I'll take them, failed law miserably, because as soon as I was sitting there, I was just like, "This, you're just talking at me, none of this going in." Plus, I'm sitting next to my mate Tom, who killed it at law. So it's like, there's no middle ground where he's absolutely smashing it. I was just, when I got handed my U, he was pissing himself. It was funny, because it was just like, we knew it was coming. So then I switched, and I did media then after that. But yeah, I can't really go any deeper about my A levels and that because there's a bit of fuckery with my stuff after, which I don't want to say on camera. So,
oh yeah,
but all worked out all right. So yeah, good.
I did. When I went, because obviously my school didn't have sick form, so you went to college.
Right.
So I went to Exeter College, and you could take four in your first.
Yeah, that's what I did. I did four. Yeah,
sure. So I took PE.
Yeah.
Yeah, physical education, whatever.
I did that at GCSE. I picked PE GCSE.
Journalism, English language and history. And I actually dropped PE. Like, I was really good at PE in high school when it was just like bare, just running and playing rugby and playing just football running. And playing cricket and stuff like that. I was really good at like lots of sports. Mm. So I could do that. But then at A level, it was more like, this is like what tendons are, and I was just like not into it. All like biology, like light biology.
Yeah,
just wasn't into it. And like I remember, we was like used to sit in class, and they would like make us like lie the first 10 minutes of the lesson just on our backs in the dark.
What? Terry, are you about to reveal some stuff about your past?
No. So we would like we would basically like lie. It was like some weird meditation thing. Lecturers. Yeah.
Why'd have to be in the dark?
Don't know, mate. Some weird thing. And we was led there. And we used to. And I used to sit at the back with two of my friends, one called Terry and one called George.
Terry. Who's called Terry now?
Terry was quite like a naughty lad.
He sounds it. Yeah.
Do you know the video I showed you of my friend Jacob in Miami? Yeah. With that girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Terry, him and
he's
Terry.
He's a comment.
Is it Terry that's doing the old John McCurrick on it?
It's not. He's not doing the John McCurrick, but right. He's in that sort of like. He's about a little bit of that kind of stuff. And George Pym, who actually went on to become a professional cyclist.
Yeah.
So we used to like sit there, lie there, and then we would spread out so bad. We used to like spread out, and we used to they went into a lights went off, and then we just used to all fart. So go around the room. And the teacher would have to turn the lights back on and go, this is disgusting. This is disgusting.
I don't, what's the aim?
The aim was to disrupt the dark realm of meditation.
No. What's the aim of the meditation?
Setting everyone down.
Is it an all boys school?
No. It's like just like a.
Bro, that is rogue.
They just got kids and they were like, we're going to make you all lay on your backs.
Well,
it's
just like meditation. And turn the light. It happened every lesson. It was like sometimes, like. Once a month or something. It was some weird thing. It was like meditation. I can't remember her name. Anyway, I dropped that. Then I went in to do journalism. Smash journalism. Unbelievable journalist that was. I won an award in my journalism one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. National Council for the Training of Journalists, NCTJ, Star of the Future Award.
Star of the Future
Award. Oh, that one.
Bob Tomlinson's in there.
Yeah.
I think such prestigious writers have gone on to it. He's gone on to the Times, etc. After, but
and what did you do?
Yeah, I'm here. So, so it didn't really work out. But yeah, I actually loved college, man. College was so loose.
Yeah.
Like you could get away with so much at college.
Yeah, you could.
College was fun, but it was that. It's kind of those years where, it's like school. It's all done for you. You have to be there.
Mm.
College is the years when you're first told that you can do it how Freedom. You want to do it. And you drag yourself through it enough. And then uni is exactly the same, but at uni you realise that, shit, I've actually got to put my head down.
Yeah, like at college, I was like, I'd go KFC every lunch, then I'd go to the pub after every, like...
Yeah.
I will say...
College was the best.
I was the same as you, though. When I went to college, I had no intention at all of going to... Sorry, that's annoying me. I had no intention at all of going to
university.
I always assumed, I used to work on my dad's fruit and vegetables, like working on throughout the week with him on them. And I just always, it was always kind of set that I would leave college, I would work for a few more years, and then I'd just take over the business from my dad. That was just in my mind how it was going to go. And then it was when I failed law that I like had a moment where I just sat there and I was like, "What? If that's what I'm going to do, there's no point me being here. Like, I might as well go now. So if I'm going to put 2 years of my life towards something, what's the point if I already know what I'm going to do?
So do you think A-levels are vital then? Just failed or got through their exams and smashed A-levels?
I would say two things. Is that, first of all, in terms of an education process, you can't, as far as I know, you can't get to uni without it.
I don't think you can. So
you have to have that stepping stone. So... For that instance, if you want to do... There are certain jobs, not all of them at all, but there are certain jobs that usually require a degree of some sort to get you in the door at least. And I'll be honest, I'm not speaking from experience here because any job I've ever had out of uni or whatever, I've never got anything through my...
education.
Yeah. When I was at uni, in my spare time, I wrote a blog about trainers and then I got a job writing for Hypebeast from that when I left uni. And then the guy that hired me here hired me because... He'd read my stuff on Hypebeast and like that, and he also liked trainers. And then I came in here, and then from here, then went on to do whatever else. So I've never actually got anything off of my degree. Mm-hmm. But, like, the other side of it, I'd say, is that what A-level was for me is that moment when I failed law and had a moment to myself to think, okay, you need to commit and do this. It was a moment where I realised that, like, the first time ever, there was no excuses on stuff. So it was like, in terms of people saying, is it worthwhile? I think it's... It's one of those growing up moments where you suddenly realise, oh shit, this stuff stops with me. If I fail or I succeed at it, it's on me to do it. You could realise that outside of A-levels, but it's there. You know, I think it all depends on the individual.
I feel like there's a moment after you've finished your GCSEs where you need to start taking responsibility for your life.
Yeah.
And you have to, and that path can change, but you need a destination. And as I said, that can change every single week. That might change. And if that destination involves you having to go and get your A-levels in order to get to, you need to get to the next part, then you have to do
it.
You have to put in work. But if that destination involves you going around them things and potentially going to get some real world experience, or even going up bloody traveling or something, like, but you have to make that decision and go for it and take responsibility for your own life.
Yeah, I think especially for me, when I didn't fail, I passed all of my subjects poorly, like I got D's and E's. But that was the moment where I was like, yeah, this is dead. This ain't for me at all. And that was probably the best moment for me throughout my whole educational experience. Yeah. Like, as soon as I realised that it wasn't for me, I put my head down and I thought, well, now I need to get my foot in the door in something that I actually do enjoy doing. Like, I probably studied more for my, like, car theory exam than I did for anything else I did in my educational career, because it meant more to me. Then off the back of me getting a car and stuff, I felt like, oh, I should do more things out and about. And I ended up getting a work experience with the company where I met Dave. I think I've gone through this on like another live video before, but if you want, depending on what industry you want to go into, I'd definitely say like A-level stuff isn't vital. It's definitely going to help you if you're going to go into something like, if you want to be a teacher or if you want to be
a lawyer.
Something like that. Like, but especially media, it's not essential. I think, especially now, having gone through the process of actually hiring somebody, it's more their experience that you're interested in rather than their degree.
Anytime hiring, I always thought, I'll read a person, and if I feel like, I'll choose whether or not to go with that person over how they come across to me as a worker, as opposed to what it says on paper they've got.
Yeah.
But I think what's interesting with what you said, though, is that me and you both had that pivotal moment at A-levels. Both took different directions off of it, but what A-levels gave you was a moment on both sides of being like, okay, it's on me now.
Yeah.
Which I think is like, it goes outside the education thing. It's a growing phase. Do you know what I mean? For people.
Yeah. There's a moment where you realise that if stuff doesn't just fall into place.
It's on you.
Like whether that happens for you at A-levels or after uni, whenever that moment is, that's that pivotal moment where you're like, cool, it's on me now and I need to get this done.
Yeah, man.
And if it goes wrong, it's on you as well.
So I guess if you are watching and doing your A-levels, let us know what you got, like out in terms of marks in the comments below, or tweet us or just DM Sav Berry because he reads everything he gets in his DMs.
I actually do, and I pretty much respond to
everyone. I know. That's a nice guy for you. I respond to very few.
You've got 5,000 followers. So
I go through stages. I'll be really good at it, and then I'll get. It's like also like
you've got no right, bro. You've got
four
wicked
followers. Yeah, I know. They're wicked. But when you get someone like appreciate them all, but like it's easier to reply when there's a context to it. Do you know what I mean? When someone's talking to us about something, you can reply. When it's just like quality, it's like I'll just send you a thumbs up. Cool. What do we do?
Come then, right, let's go on to the next news story then, after A-levels.
Cool.
Sav, Jacko, who wants to step up?
You want to jump in?
I'm going to go in.
Go on, corporate.
So mine is about...
CD.
The, yeah.
CD.
Corporate
I'll get some T-shirts, mate.
That's class.
So basically, it's about, you know the movie The Nun? It's in the...
Is this the horror film?
In the horror movie. So it's in, like, the Conjuring, or the Conjuring...
Yeah.
Universe.
Yeah, in that universe.
Oh, yeah.
And that was my most horrible experience.
Well, I'm going to come on to that in a minute. But, like, The Nun, basically, is...
Panicattack.com.
Tell them about it. So we got invited. We got invited to go to like a live, like action screening of the Conjuring 2.
I wish there's a GoPro on him.
Basically, what it was in Waterloo under like the bridge and stuff, and it was like you'd kind of walk through and things would jump out at you. So we're all on edge. Right, and then after that, you go and actually watch the movie, right? But
can I just say, it's not just like that. He's undersold it. You're getting like creepy people come out and jump at you in your face. Things are flying across the ceiling. Swings are moving by themselves. Yeah. There's people shouting at you. There's like
but you know what it is.
Horrible.
You know it's going to be a script.
Yeah, but like he will get shook up.
It's
at
horrible.
No. But I would get why you'd be so scared if you'd gone to a normal cinema and that stuff was happening.
Yeah, you're know going what to you're a getting. Screen.
Yeah, carry on.
All right. So when I'm watching this movie, and
so he's on edge.
He's massive. In fact, there's one bit he was watching the movie like behind his knees because he was so scared of what was going. But the thing is, all of these movies they're made with like these jump cuts and scares
and stuff like that.
And there was a bit where I don't know, like it was just a little bit of wind. There was a bit of wind coming in the cinema. And he absolutely shat himself. And he squealed and he was hiding behind his thing. It was just wind.
It was like, but I also went to see the premiere of It. And that was an interactive premiere. And it is already quite scary. I hate horror films. And I turned up to It and I sat down and a clown ran down the aisle and I nearly got up and left. If it hadn't been for the fact it was a premiere and I was with my girlfriend, I was sat there and and it'd be like a jump scare on TV, on the big screen in front of you, you'd be like, ah, like that, it'd be a jump scare and then so you'd be like, oh, and then you turn to your left and there'd be a clown sat next to you.
Yeah, that's mad.
Or like in your face. face like this, or as one ran off screen, one would sprint down the aisle. Yeah. And it's like, and then, so you would... and I was never been so on edge. Heart rate 160. Absolutely. Honestly, a joke.
Write in the comments if you'd like to see a watch along of Joe watching a horror film. That would be wicked.
No, it wouldn't.
It would be wonderful.
Anyway, what's the story?
So the story is.
No, that was it. We just want to bring up that.
So I believe the distributor of that movie is actually Warner Brothers. And,
shout out Warner Brothers.
Shout out Warner Brothers. Corporate Dave's on.
He's that Louis Gattes. He's actually the head of influencer marketing at Warner Brothers Europe. So
shout out. Let's just pick up that one.
So basically, the movie, they had started putting pre-roll on YouTube videos of what looks like... it basically looks like your visual is actually broken. So you kind of go to... turn it up, and that's actually part of the actual video. And then, about 5 seconds in, there's a jump scare, and it's been really, really scaring kids. Like really, really. Scaring
I haven't
them.
Seen this.
It's been in like America. So I just watched the film.
I know, but that's the sort of thing that's well FOMO, good. That's well good marketing.
I think that's the point. I think it's excellent marketing because I think it's now been taken down. But I think that's probably part of their plan anyway.
Well, the thing is now people are talking about it on some of the world's biggest podcasts.
Exactly.
And NSFW.
So yeah, that's basically my story. So now that advert's now been banned from YouTube, but it's like basically done its job.
But do you remember something similar to that, like about 6 months before it was released, the hype was insane because there was the clown stuff in America.
But do you remember also that it themselves started hanging the balloons on
drains
around London?
Oh, the lanyard's off. He's getting loose.
He's done his bug now, so that's off.
That's mad though.
Yeah, it smashed it. But that was kind of lucky that the clown thing happened around that time. That was just.
Although, was it lucky or was it started to stage?
They reckon that maybe the first one or two was part of a small bit of test campaigning, and then people took it upon themselves to go mental with it. And if you heard about that story, you most likely heard it on a 39 million viewed watch video that we did.
Really?
Back in the day when we couldn't run ads on it, so that made nothing, didn't it?
What was that video?
Top 10 all-time conspiracies on Facebook. 39 million views,
madness.
And then we literally rinsed. And this is back in... You was there. This is only like 2 years ago.
Is this Dalton territory?
No, this was Alex Brown. Shout out Alex Brown. Made it, did 39 million views. So then, obviously, our mindset was, okay, put clowns in everything. And we made... we made, probably for the next month after that, probably another 7 videos focused around clowns.
All smashed up.
And only one got under 1 million views. It did 500K, and that's where we was like, okay, maybe it's done now. But the first few after went like, it went 39, then it went 15, then it was like 7. And we was just, could you imagine if we could have put adverts in that stuff? It would have paid for... the company for a year.
Like clowns. I've got a clown story for you lot.
Go on.
So my mate, not mates anymore, but anyway, his phobia was clowns. So if you ever put like a clown mask on or anything, white as a sheep. Like he was so scared of clowns. It was insane. So one night when we just moved into our house, our new house here, we thought, I'm going to play a prank on him, innit? And just do it. Because obviously, new house, you're already a little bit, all right, cool. It's like first or second night, you're a bit like, little noises in the house you're not sure about. So anyway,
the boiler.
Yeah. So come in. I called one of my boys. I was like, yo, come knock on the window with a clown mask on in like 20 minutes. He was like, cool, I'll do it.
Questions asked. Yeah. Straight down. Let me get that clown mask out.
he came down, and he texted me when he was outside, didn't it, to say, I was like, cool. So I started beforehand to say, yeah, you hear that? I saw that. So he's like making little rustling noises in the like little driveway thing. Knocks on the window now, and my boy is like, yo, what's going on? Like, what is this? I was like, I don't know, bro. I don't even really want to go check. So anyway, he goes up to the window now. My boy pops his head up, clown mask on. He drops. My boy drops to the floor, runs out, grabs a knife, runs outside. He's, going to kill the guy. And I'm like, yo, all right, cool. He's like, chill, stop. It's I can't remember. It's whatever.
Is that why you're not friends anymore?
Fight or flight?
Yeah, no. He's a dickhead. But yeah, yeah, it's mad. He was like, I'm, and afterwards when he came back in, when he came back in, you know, when you have your adrenaline dump, he looked like so gone. Lifeless. Yeah. like he was just sitting in his chair, like he's just been through like a war zone or something. Oh, it was amazing. It was mad.
I had one of them with the best horror film I've ever watched is Wreck. You ever seen Wreck?
Yeah,
the Spanish one. They ruined it with a sequel because what was so good about Wreck is it never really got explained at the end. Wreck 2, they kind of tried to give it a meaning, it kind of ruined it a bit. But I watched it at uni, like loads of us in the room, and didn't even clock that one of my mates had drifted out and went round the back, and it was like a rainy night and everything, literally all the lights off in the house. And Wreck was filmed where they didn't tell most of the actors when stuff was going to happen, okay. So it's all real reactions. And it's in Spanish as well. So there's something about it being subtitles that you have to lean into the film more to like, so you, do you know what I mean? You can't just like not pay attention.
Yeah.
And my mate, the same thing, no mask or anything, but just at a wrong time, just smacked on the window. And literally there's probably about 12 of us sitting just in and around this living room. It was the loudest combined shit yourself I've ever heard. Like the different pitch screams was insane. But like, horror films put you on that line and if something tips you over the edge, you're gone.
Finished.
That's horrible, man. Like I've only ever had one experience like that, but it was not like one of my friends went outside. I was led in bed with Chloe once at university, and we lived on the ground floor, and it was the kitchen in front of the room, and like another room behind us, and then our room, and it was just me and Chloe in the house, probably a 6-bedroom, and at about 2 a.m, flashlight goes past the window. And I was like, fuck this. Like, you are having me on. We're both like, did that just happen? That didn't happen. Suddenly, back door.
He's behind Chloe.
Suddenly, back door. Like, you know, the handle going like that. Yeah. We're like, what the who's that? So we ring all the other housemates. We're like, is that you? And they're like, no, we're at a bar, a pub, or wherever. We're like, so who's that? So then a bat comes again, the light, looking through the window. And Chloe had, like, a net curtain, so you couldn't really see in. But we were there. We were just like, like static, like it's lumps of wood. Anyway, front door starts going. So at this stage, I'm like, I am not dealing with this. So I ring the police. So I'm on the phone. I'm just like, yo, I think somebody's trying to break into our house. And to which the policewoman goes, not a word of a lie. He goes, do you want to go and check who it is? And I was like, not really. I don't really want to. And she was like, can you not just quickly run outside and see who it is?
Run outside.
Yeah. And I was like, ah, but what if somebody I don't know? So anyway, so I go out, like I'm following police advice. Go outside, and it was just like as I went to open the door, it's just like a random bloke just trying to break into the house, just sprinting out, sprints away as soon as I open the door on him. I was like, that's the worst piece of advice ever.
Yeah, that
I
is
thought
mad.
You were going to say it was your dad or something. Yeah. Like, your dad was
that
like,
would have been your dad.
No, that's like, wait, stop. That's
the genuine reason somebody trying to break into my house. Like, the police advice was go outside and check who it is.
I'll do these quick, but in terms of from uni, I have 3 situations around that similar thing.
Yeah.
First one was. I worked like jobs throughout uni, so I'm in my second year, and we lived on a dodgy road anyway. But I'm working in this clove shop, and I come outside, and my girlfriend at the time, she had a car, so she used to come pick me up. So I called her and was like, "Look, I'm ready. Can you come down?" So she goes, "Yeah, yeah." So she's on the phone to me. She's like, "Yeah, I'm leaving now." And all I hear on the phone is she's walking out. She goes, "Yeah, I'm leaving now. I'm leaving now." Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! There's a man. Puts the phone down. I was like, what the fuck is going on? So then I'm like calling her back, no one's answering. Calling back my housemates, no one's answering. So I'm like, what the fuck has gone on? So in the end, I finally get through to her. She answers the phone. She's like, out of breath, like fucking, what do you call it?
Hyperventilating.
I was like, what is going on? Are you all right? She's like, there was just this like drug addict had just gone and stood in our doorway in the corner and was just like having a fit to himself. But then as she opened the door, he like tried to come in. So, but literally, imagine like when it happens, our house had 2 entrances to it. So she's ran back inside and shut the door and got all the boys. We lived in a house with 9 boys and 3 girls.
Yeah.
All the boys went out, but they went like round the house to approach it from another angle in case he was a nutter. And it was just literally this like this drunk who was on a load of gear, and they just turned him away. And as he's walking off, he's like shouting back to us, like, I'm really sorry. Just didn't know what he was doing.
That's other a one, madness.
2 quick ones in terms of someone breaking in, but not breaking in. First one, My mate at uni had a... we went around his house one night. Me and my mate Fred went around to his house. And he had a shotgun BB gun. So
I was going to say he's got a shotgun.
No, we're all pissing about a bit, doing whatever. And then me and Fred are like, right, we're going back to our flat for the night. And then Fred goes to him and goes, is Ollie in? I have a housemate. He's like, yeah. He goes, right, give us the gun for the thing. So Fred's got this massive coat on, like a big high hood, and just goes into the house. Ollie's asleep in his bed, and it's pitch black. And Fred just goes up, just kicks in the door as it opens. Ollie's in bed and just starts firing BB guns at him. He rolls over and just sees this silhouette of just this massive coat. Just starts screaming his head off. Fred just goes running, drops it, goes running, jumps into his bed and just hides it. And then Ollie comes running down the stairs into his bedroom and starts like, he's like in a state going, there's someone in the house. And Fred like turns over going, what? Like, I don't know what you're talking about. And we had him shitted up for it for about a week, where he was like double locking doors, went and bought other shit to like keep a proper lockdown. The only other one is that same house. Fred comes into my room one night. I was on the top floor and goes, Dave, do you want to come downstairs? Our living room was one floor up and there's just a guy asleep on the sofa.
What do you mean?
I was like, well, what do you mean there's a guy that's sitting? He went, the random bloke's just asleep on the sofa in the house. I was like, all right, cool. So I set up a knife under my mattress always. I don't know why. As soon as I went to uni, I always did it. So I get up. The worst bit was, it was a fucking bread knife. So like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Saw someone. It was all I had. Every other knife I needed in the kitchen. So I was I'll keep that one. So I get up. I've got this. And he goes, what should I do? I was like, well, I don't know, just grab something. You never know what it is. So he runs down past the living room, comes back up with a frying pan. It was like a comedy. And we go in, and this guy's just asleep on our sofa. And we was like, and he's like passed out. So I just go up to him, like, mate, waking up. I was like, mate, what are you doing? And he's like, he's one of those ones, it's like those Unilad videos. He starts going, oh, leave me alone. Like, he's annoyed that we're doing it. I was like, mate, you're in my house. He goes, no, I'm not in your house.
He's wasted.
You're asleep on my sofa. This is our house. And he like looks at us. He goes, this is my house. He's like, no, we haven't woke coming to your house. So end up, we like pick him up. And when he wakes up, he like looks around. And you know, like those moments where it starts to settle for him.
Yeah.
And this bloke was just a drunk. We don't know how he got in, like in the front door. And he literally just sort of sobered up a bit and went, oh, boys, I'm so sorry. He was like, standing with a knife and a frying pan.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Yeah, cool, don't worry. Walked him downstairs, and he was, like, struggling for ages to put his shoes on.
That
he was like,
funny,
do you want to just take a seat, mate, and do it? They went, oh, cheers. But lovely fella.
I've got a great story.
But, just to finish, we lived in a private close in our third year.
Yeah.
So you had to go down what wasn't a main road and then into a private close thing, and we were the house right at the back. So how this guy got there was like beyond us.
Yeah.
And then me and Fred were going for a stage at the time where anyone that left our house, we would wait a minute and then chase them up the road and throw eggs at them, just because why not? So this poor guy then left and was like, oh, we've got to do it. So we just chased him up the road throwing eggs. And I threw one, didn't get the height on it, it hit a tree above me and split over both of us.
Serves you right, mate. Well, go on then, Jacko, what's your story on this?
So SW4. 2015.
Yes.
All right.
Back in the real West.
The festival in Clapham Common.
So I used to live on Clapham High Street. You went to that flat, didn't you? And we'd been out at this festival the whole day, very, very drunk. I've got a friend called Dingle. I know you guys have met like Dingle.
Yeah.
You'll probably meet him in a stag. Yeah, you will meet him in a stag. So he's a very big guy, bald. Mm. And I basically had enough at this stage. This was about 1 a.m. And I was like, I'm going back to the flat. Give me a ring when you and I will open the door, kind of thing, right? So he stays out for another couple because he's just in a state. But I basically just fell asleep, and he was supposed to be staying at mine because I was basically in that kind of Clapham. And I wake up in the morning, and it's banging on my door, all right? And I opened my front door. And it's him just lying there outside, hugging a bucket of KFC. Right, but this isn't even a bit. See, it turns out he had got into my flat, into the flat of like kind of like building, gone up through the stairs. Which, bear in mind, there's three doors there that you need a key to get in. He's gone in someone's house. All right, he's lying in their bed, and the couple's come in and gone, mate. What is that? And then,
mate.
And then he's because he's like a big guy.
Yeah. Really. Yeah.
And
he looks exactly as you're imagining he looks from his story.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like he's gone. I'm here to see Dave. And they're like, who's Dave? Dave in flat 11. He went, mate, you're in flat 13, mate. But he's in the bed. He's got into the bed. Right?
Oh, my God.
Hugging this bucket of KFC.
Oh, he's got the KFC in the bed?
Yeah, he's got
so he hasn't eaten a bit yet?
He hasn't eaten it. All right. And then so eventually they managed to get... I don't know, but this is what I don't understand. I don't understand how... We still don't understand how he's got in the building and into their house.
Yeah.
So they must have invited him in because you can just walk into someone's house.
Yeah.
And then, but when
with a bucket. It just stunk
as well. You know, like a KFC after a couple of hours.
Yeah, in the bed, yeah.
Yeah. And then, but it was just, I opened it and I just see him, because he's a big lad. He's just lying sprawled out. Hugging this bucket of KFC.
That's quality.
I've got one other story on that as well, right?
Go on.
So it's slightly different to you lots, but it was my boy Rashan's grandma's birthday, right? And we'd gone to this 70s night.
Decent.
In Hornsey.
For the grandma's birthday,
yeah. Shout out Rashan and his family. So anyway, now so we're at the party, good vibes, but we was planning on going Shoreditch after to corner shop, yeah? So we was like, cool, we got to chip off in about half hour. So half hour goes by, they're like, I'm going to go to my car and Sav, you go to your car and then we'll meet back in Bounds Green and go off from there. So anyway, I go back to my car, right? I'm in like shoes, jeans and like a smart shirt, yeah? So I get to my car, and there's a guy sitting in my driver's seat, billing a zoot, right? So I'd had a few as well, yeah? Don't condone drinking driving.
I was going to say.
I didn't actually end up driving the car.
You had a couple of these.
I didn't end up driving the car. Anyway, so the guy said, I went round to the back to make sure that it was my car, first of all. So I went back, saw my plate. I was like, it's my car. So I went like... On the roof of the car, I was like, "Oi, get out of my car!" So this guy's like, "Oh, he starts shitting himself." He moves over to the passenger seat. Yeah, he's all like this. He's like, "Oh," moves over to the passenger seat.
Moves over. Doesn't get out.
So I open the door. I was like, "Get out of my car!" He's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. My mate said the car was open. I just need to build a suit, bro." Like, I was like, "This guy's taking a piss." I thought in my head, I was like, "This is CID. You know, they're trying to see." They tried to see what was in the car. I don't know. I don't know why, but I was kind of waved and I thought, yeah, this is CID. Anyway, it wasn't. So I see that the glove compartment's open and like my change is gone from the thing. So I'm like, get out of my car, empty your pockets. So he got out. He's like dumping himself. He is like, this guy's going to kill me. Because the way I was moving, I was like this next to him. I was like, what are you going to, you know what I'm saying? So then he's like, I think he was a traveller because he had an Irish accent and I could tell he was on the phone to his mate and his mate saying, what's going on? His mate had an Irish accent, so I was thinking, whatever.
Traveller.
So he's just got
two and two.
I know exactly what he means.
Yeah. So then, quality. So then he starts like emptying out his pockets. I was like, bro, I didn't take anything, I promise. I was just like... There was like just a couple pennies in your thing. I just took them, and he empties that. He's got like he's got like a bag of coke, a bag of weed, like a little bag of coke, a little bag of weed. It all falls on the floor, and he's like, "Is there anything I can do to like repay you?" And he was like, "I'll give you my coke, my weed, everything." I was like, "I don't need any of that." He goes, "This is the maddest thing anyone's ever said to me before. I don't know why. He must have thought I was gonna kill him, right?" He goes. Like, if you need any, like I can... he was going to say, I will suck you off.
No.
I swear to God.
No.
Are you joking?
That's like...
Oh, my God.
And in that moment, I felt so bad because I was like, I've made this geezer...
That scared, yeah.
...fear
yeah.
for his life so much that he thought he would have to do that to...
What did you happen? What was the outcome?
That's
what he's gonna.
Because it was raining mad, innit? So I was like, "There's a bus stop. You should go and wait under the bus stop and like get out of the rain."
Yeah, let's
but
not do
get
it.
Out of my car. You're an idiot. Like, you can't just be going through people's cars, bro. That's not cool. He's like, yeah, I know, bro. I was just trying to build a zoo. Yeah, mad. Shout out Murphy.
That's a great story.
Shout out Murphy.
Murphy.
Murphy. Mad. That takes me on to my story then for the week, pretty nicely. I'm bringing Ben Stokes to the table. Ben Stokes. Yeah.
He's a wrong one, mate. He's a wrong one.
Give us the background on the story.
He's been acquitted. So, Ben Stokes went on a night out as an England cricketer, got into a fight outside of a nightclub, knocked one geezer out, punched another geezer. There's a video, obviously, very famous, went around Twitter that the Sun got hold of. He basically, this week, was acquitted of assault and stuff like that after. Apparently, he was basically supporting two gay guys who were themselves being attacked. So that was his argument, that was his defence, was that I'm just protecting these two gay guys. I watched the interview with the two guys on Good Morning Britain yesterday.
The two gay guys?
Yeah, and they were basically like, he's been a hero.
Oh, really?
Oh, serious?
Yeah, well, they were getting attacked with a bottle.
Tried
to attack him with a bottle.
Yeah.
And, straight in with his opinion at the start.
And Stokes comes, rolls through, knocks one of the geezers out. Obviously, saw what was happening.
Straight for off stump.
Knocked one of the geezers out. Proper clean right.
Bowling shame.
And then knocks another guy over. And they were like, oh, he's a massive hero, blah, 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 whatever like this.
Yeah.
And he's now been acquitted, but away from Stokes, I wanted to know what everybody's sort of craziest night out fight story is.
Ooh.
Because we've all had a good night out fight story.
Yeah.
I want to know what everyone's craziest.
I'll say
I don't want to know most violent.
Yeah, no, just
crazy. Okay, all right. Okay. So yeah, everybody's so most. I won't do most violent. Yeah. I'll do funniest.
Yeah.
funniest is So I'm in that same house with a uni when the guy came and slept in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
basically, I'd avoided having my mates from home down to my uni the whole time I've been there. Yeah. By this point in this house, I'm in my third year. Because before I went uni, every weekend with me and the boys was basically standing on a street corner, ending up in a row or a fight or something. That's just the way it was. It'd be gangs of kids would go about. There used to be a thing around my area, I don't know if it's the same, but they were called scouts, where basically gangs in the area would send out kids on like mopeds.
Mm.
And if they'd go about and they'd see someone they knew, then they'd go back and suddenly 10 minutes later people would arrive.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like when I went to uni, it wasn't as bad as it sounds. It was fine. You never really got into anything. But you know, when I moved away, I was like, I can't be arsed constantly dealing with this, so I'm not going to have the boys down. The funny thing is my mate Tom, one of my best mates Tom, he went to Bournemouth with me. So I've got another story about him on one of our first days at uni kicking off, which kind of makes my entire point, but it's not really the funny one. So it is funny though. Third year comes, I finally say to the boys, they're like, look, we need to come down for a night. So I was like, okay, cool, all come down, we'll go do a night out. There was remember Jaguar Skills?
Jaguar Skills,
DJ. He was playing in Bournemouth, so he was like, look, he mixes well, but it's a lot of mainstreamy stuff. So he was like, look, that'll suit all the boys, it'll be cool, because they were like that, so we'll do it. So they're all coming to my house on the Saturday in the day. But my brother had been DJing back home on the Friday night, so I was back home. So me and my brother, two of my mates, are all driving down later on the Saturday to meet them. So as we're driving down, all my mates are already at the house. My ex is at the house of them, calls me up, and she's like, oh, how long are you going to be? I was like, I don't know, I've been in about an hour. She's like, all right, they're proper tanked up already. She's like, I think they've already had a fight. I was like, right, okay, cool. she went, they're proper rowdy. Can you just like make sure you get it quick? I was like, yeah, sweet. She knows them all, but it was just like, it's just her with all of them. She's trying to host.
So
I remember I get there. The first thing I see when I walk into my living room is, hopefully he doesn't watch this because we never told him. One of the guys I lived with at the time had a huge tank in our living room that had turtles in it.
Right.
And they were like, his everything was his turtles. I walk into the living room, Tom just goes to me and goes, hey, Dave, look. And he's just pouring vodka straight into the tank from the top. Just like half a bottle, just no qualms.
Oh, no.
Those turtles didn't move strong for like a week. And the guy kept going, like, something happened. So he's like, oh, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on. So as soon as I walk in, I'm like, fuck, like, they're on it. They're proper on it.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, what's this about? You had a kick off earlier. So They go, yeah, yeah, before we got here, we went, sorry, this story's long, we went Wetherspoons to get some food. We had a couple of beers, we thought we'd get food. They all ordered food, and it didn't arrive, and they saw them closing the kitchen. So they go up to the counter, and they was like, sorry, why are you closing the kitchen? They said, sorry, we've given you your food, and now it's shut. They went, you didn't give us any food. They went, yeah, we did, that's on that table there. They turn around, and there's a bunch of Spanish blokes on a table eating their food. So at this point as well, let me say as well, my mate Lewis, who I don't think any of you have met, my mate Lewis, he was a scout for, well, he worked in a way for Cholton
at the time. Yeah, but, I thought he was going to say a scout in some game.
So, so he worked in a way for Cholton. So the boys go over and start like asking, but it's a language barrier. So asking, you've nicked our food, whatever, trying it, but it starts to get heated, whatever. And then the boys, and they're just shocked silence because out of nowhere, when these bikes are having a go at them in Spanish, Lewis just pulls over the top. Turns out he's been scouting for a Spanish feeder club that served Cholton, and he's now fluent, but no one knows. He's half Spanish, but we didn't know. Lewis just comes over the top and in Spanish starts proper, which they said, cool at the start, but he just made it worse. Like, the more they could understand what he was saying. It kicks off there. Then they end up back at the house. Then we're like, right, cool, we're going out for the night. We all go out for the night. Into this club, wicked time, having a quality session. I've got my ex with me, we're dancing, and because I'm dancing with her, I'm kind of not really aware what was around me. So I'm saying this because those are little bits of this story that kind of end with the big one. I'm dancing with her, and I don't know, but I've like bumped into this guy. My brother and his mate Adam are like standing there, and this guy just turns and just gives someone his bottle. Goes, hold this, like, gives him his bottle, and then just goes to swing for me. But I don't know, because I've got my back. As he swings, my brother sees him do it, just grabs him by the neck, and just shoves him up against the wall. And you know my brother. My brother's, like, the most calm, collected guy ever. But if something happens to someone, one of his mates or me or whatever, then he'll... So I'm kind of the same. You can have a go at me, and I'm fine. So he grabs him and he puts him against the wall and he goes, that's my brother, don't do anything. He goes, oh, I'm sorry. This story comes up the next morning, we're telling it. And he goes, yeah, he says, hold my bottle. Adam goes, oh shit. He was like, what? He went, I held his drink. This guy just turns around and goes, hold that. He was like, yeah, cool. So I mean, it's going to kick off. I didn't know it was going for you. So that's that. Then later on in the night, I'm out in the smoking area with Tom, standing there having his plag, whatever. And, Ollie, one of my housemates, comes running out and he goes, boys, you need to get inside now. Your mate Rich is kicking off. He's about to have a fight. So he's like, oh, for God's sake. I'm literally thinking, all of this is why you lot don't come down. So Tom goes to run in. I grab Tom. I'm like, look, Ollie can, he's probably built this up more than it is. So let's just see what the deal is before we go in. We get into the club and there's a circle. You know, the circle that's always around the fight. Yeah. So, oh, fuck's sake. So we like work our way through the crowd. Find my mate Rich in the middle, who is gunning for it. Like, he's ready to go.
Grab him. Dubai Rich, yeah?
Yeah. Right, cool. Grab him, and we're like, Rich, what's going on? He's like, I'm going to... expletives in there, but I'm going to have him... I'm going to take... I'm going to have it with this guy, whatever. And we're like, who are you talking about? He's like, that guy, they pushed me. He was trying to get him when I was at a bar getting a drink. So I'm going to have him. He's talking too much, whatever. He's like, who are you talking about? I'm not lying. He goes, him. And the crowd parts, and it's a midget. Standing in the middle of the thing. But the thing is, the guy is standing there, like, ready to go. Yeah, ready to go. And me and Tom, like, die laughing on the floor. Yeah. But Rich is kind of half pissed and doesn't understand why we think it's funny. He thinks we're laughing at him. So he's getting more and more worked up. Like, ready to go. And he's like, "What? Why didn't you let me? You're supposed to be backing me, whatever." I was like, I'm not backing you with that. Yeah. So I stand up and I was like, mate, just seriously, just don't. Like, tomorrow we'll explain it, but don't.
Yeah.
All I remember the next day is waking up in the living room, going downstairs. Rich is asleep on my sofa, half eaten Subway still in his hand. And he wakes up. He goes, you all right, mate? I was like, yeah. Remember you trying to kick off last night? And he looks at me and goes, yeah, what the fuck? Like, why didn't you let me kick off for that guy? I was like, Richard was a midget. And he literally went, oh, and just cracked straight back over the Subway. And then that was it, and all the boys went home. But it was a good night. Man. It was a good laugh.
What about you, Seville?
I'll go.
I have to keep it short, though, because we've got about 2 minutes left for the podcast. That was a long one. He's gone for about 30 minutes there.
That was good.
There's too many parts. I'm trying to think how to do it quick. Right, cool. So it was my 20th birthday. We've gone to Basildon, a spot called Unit 7. It's a club. It was something before more famous. I can't remember, but it's called Unit 7 now. So I've gone there with 8 of my boys and my girl, who's her, it was also her cousin's birthday on the same day, who's come with loads of her girls and also her man and stuff like that. So there's probably about 16 of us, 17 of us, right?
But good number.
Yeah, but where was, I think, more, there was way more guys than there was girls, innit?
Yeah.
We had a table booked. I'd booked a table before I got there. But my boy, I call him E, I'm not going to say his full name, but he's a wrong'un. Like, yeah. So anyway,
he's being so careful about what he says.
He's a footballer for United now, so he has to be.
So basically, he basically
he's just got it, didn't he?
Yeah. So basically, he got to the club. He's drunk and he's got in front of the bouncers. The bouncer said, "Put the drink down, or obviously you're not going to get in the club." So he goes to the bouncer, "Take the drink off me, then." Last thing you do, but if you want to get into the club. So the bouncer's like, cool, you and your boys just aren't getting in now. Down to you, thanks, cheers. So I tell my boy, I said, go back into the car, sit down and just shut up. So I have a word with the bouncer and I'm like, bro, I've booked a table, it's my birthday. Like, I beg you, I just want to get into the club and have a good night. Said, your boy is pissed and he's already kicked off. There's no chance you lot getting in. So I was like, this done's ruined my birthday for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've taken the piss with this now, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he's like, I'm so sorry, bro, like, my bad. There's a club next to, like, right next door. Let's go in there. This club was the deadest club. It was called Chicago, and it was just full of 45-year-old
Chicago.
Women. Chicago. Like, it was dead. So anyway, I was like, I'm not going in there, innit? Me and my girl were going in, and I'm going to pay a tenner to get into this club, because I've paid to get in the club. I want to get in the club, innit? So my girl's cousins were already inside, because their party wasn't part of ours.
Yeah.
So I've gone in, we've had a decent time. Some of my boys somehow have managed to get in, 3 or 4 of them, yeah? So that's Chef, Rashan, my boy Nick, they've all managed to get in, yeah? We're in the club, everything's good, we're drinking, and it was actually a sick time. Then this female bouncer comes over to my girl's cousin and said, walk in a straight line for me. If you can't do it, then you're getting chucked out of the club, right? You're moving too mad, you're moving drunk. She wasn't even that bad. Anyway, she walks in a straight line, in heels, like point perfect, calm. The bouncer I'm standing next to said, yeah, she did it. The female bouncer said, nah, she's got to go, right? So then we're like, why are you doing this? Like, what is it about us that's making you do this? Like, anyway, so the female bouncer's like, cool, you're coming. So grabs her arm. My girl's cousin goes, get off me, don't touch me, right? So the bouncer standing next to me said, yo, I need to make sure she doesn't do anything mad because I will have to get involved otherwise. So I said to the bouncer, I hear you, it's going to get mad. Like, if you do this, it's going to be mad. If you, so the female bouncer goes again, it says, I'm going to escort you out of the club. If you don't leave, I'm going to have to force you to leave, right? So my girl's cousin's like, do your worst, innit?
In heels.
The female bouncer tries to grab her. She moves the female bouncer, innit? So I'm like, oh, cool, now this big fucking guy next to me is going to get involved, isn't he? So he grabs her, but bearing in mind, I've said to him, if you do something mad, it's going to be mad. Yeah, yeah. He grabs her by the weave and drags her out the club. So her man is like, it's on now. It's on. Bearing in mind, he's got 6 of his guys with him. And then my guys are in the club next door. So anyway, he starts rocking it out with the bouncers. They're fighting, like punching each other in the face, like, and these bouncers are serious, like serious. So anyway, I'm with my lot. I'm thinking, why? Every time we go out, there's something. And Keenan will be watching this thinking, every time we go out, there's something. So anyway, me and my boys go outside the club. I come out to like maybe 8 bouncers. 15 guys. So my boys have come out of the club because I've texted them saying something mad's happening. So they've come out of the club next door. They're standing in a line. Like, go on then, let's have it. Like, these bouncers are like, bouncers are like, what the fuck's this? I'm just trying to have a deep, like, I'm trying to do my job.
Just past one level.
Yeah.
And then outside the net.
So then, one of them actually plays for Leyton Orient now. It's mad. So they're lined up. I'm thinking this is gonna be so bad. So that they're coming towards the thing now. You know the metal barriers.
Yeah.
Coming towards the metal barriers. The bouncers are like knocking on the metal barriers to try and say, if you come any closer, it's gonna be mad. So with that, they're all just there. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, and then they ended up having like a massive brawl, and the main guy, like the my girl's cousin's man. Goes to the car for a baseball bat, at which point one of them, the police have come already, scooped him up, and then he spends the night in the cell. But I mean, it was just like, you know, one of those nights where it's like everything that could have gone wrong went wrong.
You get that moment where you look at it, you take a second, you look at the scene, you're like, how did we get here?
In unit 7, the flight of stairs, the bouncer dragged her down the stairs by her hair. Wow. You know what I'm saying? So obviously they tried to file for like whatever afterwards, but like, as I'm coming down those stairs and I come out to the line, just like, it looks like they're about to go to war. Like, you know, the one's there. I'm thinking,
you can take out.
It's my birthday, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, yeah, that's why I'm.
He's in the middle going, it's my birthday!
It's my birthday! Jackson, what about you?
We'll wait for my another time. I've got loads, mate. I've got loads.
You got too many?
I've got loads.
Definitely not many. Safe for work as well.
Yeah, some of them are, innit? I don't really have one to top that, to be fair. Mine is kind of a bit more of a comical one. After, have I told you on this podcast a story about the stripper at the rugby?
You've hinted at it before, and you've always pulled out before you told the
you've
story.
You've got to go into
probably,
it.
No,
you've
I should told probably save for a longer, a different time. Though,
I think you need more time on that. Which means that we'll do maybe next week we do a part two to this.
Yeah. Gigi's waving it, saying 15 minutes left anyway. So
go into it.
So, Ben, who has been mentioned on this podcast before a number of times, shout out Waleen. Shout out Waleen's knee, still in Zambia, I think, going under surgery. But Ben, we was in a nightclub, and when I get a little bit like chirpy sometimes, I'm like, as these boys know, I'm a bit panic. I just like to wind people up. So I'm like winding these boys up. And when I'm bumping into this guy, bumping me back. And out of nowhere, concrete fist, bang, like this. It comes over my shoulder. It's like a superhuman Hulk arm. This guy is big. Ben's big guy. Bop on the nose, just like that. One, bop, like that. And the guy's face just went, like that.
Ooh.
Just red everywhere. But I just like that one because it's like, I just was like a little shit. And I wasn't involved in this situation.
You drifted out.
The rest of that story.
Went out of shit in a cathedral.
We did do another take of that story, but we've decided we can't use it, sadly.
Definitely can't.
So maybe that's a story for another day. When we're at 1 million subs, I'll tell that story.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
See, we're trying.
When we're at 1 million subs, I'll tell the full story of that because I've kind of undersold it a little bit because we have to be a little bit more politically correct than potentially I can be about that story.
So don't mention the trumpet.
The trumpet or the other events that took
when
part.
When he just says the trumpet.
And then the trumpet turned up. And that thing went everywhere. Honestly, madness, okay. Madness.
There's your line.
Yeah.
But that's it. We can't say any more about the story about the trumpet. So that is the end of the NSFW podcast. Thank you very much for listening. If you're listening on the podcast or the Spotify app, make sure you rate us 5 stars and leave a nice review. If you're listening and watching on YouTube, make sure you hit the like button, hit subscribe, leave a comment about your A-levels. And what was the other thing we wanted to leave a comment about?
Which wrestler, David?
Which wrestler would you be?
Which wrestler we should be, yeah.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. Goodbye.
Peace.